I don't have any pictures of Maggie, though, so it's just me today. So I'm Christian Grove. I'm an associate professor at Brooklyn College, and I work with the research team at the Center for HIV and AIDS Educational Studies and Training. I feel conflicted, but I have no conflicts to disclose. And I'd like to recognize my authors that are in the room today, which are Anna Ventuniak, John Rendina, and Jeff Parsons. And today we're going to talk to you about sex parties, and I have no surprises here. That's what I'm going to tell you. And I'll also say this paper has been accepted for publication in JADES. I brought extra copies, and I don't want to sit up here when we're done, so I'll be at the back of the room. If you need to leave, you can always just grab one on your way out or Google it. So for the last couple of years, I've been very interested in... Is someone keeping time?
I will.
Thank you. I've been very interested in the role that venues play in where people meet their sex partners. And venues are of particular interest because they can be the physical space to interact with the population. So you can go to bathhouses, you can go to gay bars and interact with gay people. So you can identify the target population, and you could potentially intervene on a risky act before it was going to occur. So I think a more obvious one would be like if you give condoms out at a bathhouse. There may be aspects of the venues themselves that contribute to risky behavior. So, and it makes complete sense. If you interview people who meet partners at a bar or a club, they might say that the person they hooked up with, that they were drinking, you know, during that. And I'll just leave that there. In this study, I'm going to be talking about, you know, three major venues of interest, so I'll just focus on those. And I'll say, for the last two decades or more, researchers have been very interested in, read obsessed, with the role of the internet in facilitating risky sexual encounters. And there's been a lot of mixed findings over the years. Though I think some of the more recent findings are really suggesting that the internet doesn't necessarily increase risk, it just increases opportunity. Bars and clubs and sex parties have also been of interest as venues where people might meet their sex partners. In some of our data GBMSM means gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men. In New York City and Los Angeles reported 54.8% had met a sex partner at a bar or club, 24% had met a partner at a sex party. And in our 2014 study, we found that 45% of an internet-based sample had met partners from a sex party in the prior year. So that's pretty high. Let's talk about sex parties. So what is a sex party? The definition varies, and so these are some characteristics of sex parties. So they're organized as opposed to spontaneous. They're often indoors. That would be interesting if there was an outdoor sex party. They would often be indoors either in a private home or residence that could be in a hotel room. Sometimes there might be a themed sex party held in a pre-existing sex club. They're not bathhouses where men have to rent a room. At least in New York City, you can't have sex in public. You have to do it in the private room. Sex parties have defined hours, which also makes them differ from bathhouses, which may be open 24 hours a day. So the sex party is from 8 to 11 p.m., and you got to be in by 8:30. They're often via private list or invitation. You might have to send them photos to be pre-approved. They're often themed in some way, so it could be for men of color, for young men, for bears, chubby chasers, penis size, water sports, kink, you name it. The rules around condom use may vary from one party to another. So some parties will have very strict rules where you'll be asked to leave or asked to use a condom, and others may be more laissez-faire. They're characterized by low lighting, and there's often norms around audible speaking, though there might be conversations happening in places where sex isn't occurring. Typically, they're not happening at the same time. So, hey, how was you? That sounds, you know, not at the same time. And, of course, at a sex party, you're going to probably have sex with multiple sex partners. So are sex parties risky? And as I've mentioned, so not always. What I will say, and so it was before these slides were uploaded, a sex party in New York City just released a blanket statement to all of its members saying that now that we have PrEP, if you're on PrEP and you want a bareback, you're allowed to at our sex party, but if your partner wants to use a condom, then you have to use a condom, period. So I thought that was very interesting. They also said that this new policy was informed as a result of the New York City AIDS Commission commissioner who helped them with this. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what they said. So I don't want to get nobody fired. We don't have, a lot of what we know about where people meet their partners is we'll get a sample of guys from the internet, we'll get a sample of guys, you know, from bars or clubs, we'll get a sample of guys from sex parties, and we'll ask them about what they do. And we can say something about that sample, but it makes it really difficult to know what's going on if they switch venues or go to a different venue. So that's really what we were hoping to do with Project Score. Some of our research has told us that as a group, guys who go to sex parties might be a little bit different from other people, but we also don't know if, is it when they're at a sex party that their risk is happening, or is they're just risky in general? So we really need more of a venue-based analysis. And I must apologize. All the references here are the references in the paper. So if you take the paper, then it'll make sense. So we conducted an event-level analysis to determine the association between venues where gay and bisexual and other men who have sex with men meet their sex partners and subsequent condomless anal sex from a sample of guys from bars and clubs, Craigslist.org, and from sex parties. So this is Project Score. We did time-space sampling on Craigslist. We made a version of it. I can tell you about it outside of this. And also in gay bars and clubs. We got 50 people from each one of those for this pilot study. It's not on there. And we did not do time-space sampling with sex parties. Instead, we partnered with sex party promoters to help them enroll participants in our study, though they welcomed our staff with open arms. And I'm presenting you data from our baseline, our ACASI, and our timeline follow-back interviews. They had to be over the age of 18, biologically male, and because we're looking at hooking up, they had to report at least 2 new sex partners in the last 30 days. These are the wonderful people that made this project happen. Memorize it. Okay. Who here is not familiar with a timeline follow-back interview? Okay, very briefly, it's a calendar that you fill out with participants. You start with anchor dates, like when did you go on vacation, when were you sick, did you have any birthdays? And then from there, you start filling in what happened on each day. When did you have sex? When did you use substances? And then we got very detailed stuff. Where did you have sex with this person? Where did you meet the person? And then we take those data and we transpose them into SPSS for analyses. Only for new partners did we have the real follow-up questions around which venue did you meet that partner in. Because if you're having sex with your main partner, that's like, I met him in the bedroom, I met him in the kitchen. So we lost 2 interviews due to software failure and a 3rd due to a human. So we have 147 participants, and we recorded 1,838 sexual events from these 147 guys. And more events were recorded for the sex party cohort, but that makes sense because they're going to sex parties and there's lots of opportunities to have sex at a sex party. Again, we're only looking at instances where it involves a new partner, so not a repeat partner or a main partner. So that's 1,100 events. And we use generalized estimate equations. Just trust me, it worked. I have notes on this. So the participants ranged in age from 18 to 75. Men from bars and clubs were significantly younger than men from sex parties. That makes sense. Going out to a club, you want to be hip. The sex party cohort had significantly higher proportions of men who reported being HIV positive compared to men from bars and clubs and Craigslist, and a significantly smaller proportion of men from Craigslist self-identified as gay compared to the other two. I'm calling them cohorts. I really should be calling them groups. I apologize, but forgive me. If we looked at the prevalence of condomless anal sex by cohort, so at the cohort group level, not at the event level, across all sex events with new male partners, participants from the sex party cohort reported that on average 14% of their events included condomless anal sex compared with lower percentages among the other two cohorts, and those were significant. So as a group, the sex party guys were riskier. The question then is the risk happening at sex parties, or is it just a group level effect? So we answered that. I know you can't see this. And I'm only showing you 2 models. We actually ran more models. I'm going to zoom into the parts that were significant just to give you that story. So in our models, we were looking at predicting condomless anal sex at the event level. And we included in there the HIV status of the participant, the presumed status of his partner, his age, whether the sex occurred under the influence of club drugs. So that would be ketamine, ecstasy, GHB, cocaine, or crystal meth. How are we doing? Good. And whether sex occurred under the influence of heavy drinking, so that for us that was 5+ alcoholic drinks, the recruitment cohort, so which one of the three groups were they, and the venue where they met their partners. So which group were you in, as well as at the event level, where did you meet these partners? And I'm just going to zoom in right now to what were the more significant. So for the venues where partners left, we have, were met. Forgive me, I think something's wrong with one of the numbers, but no, it's not. Okay. So when we were looking at, just to give you an idea of the popularity of venues, sex parties were our reference. They were mentioned 461 times, and that makes sense because you go to a sex party, you can hook up with 10 guys. Gay bars and bathhouses were mentioned 99 times. The internet was mentioned 224 times. Bathhouses were mentioned 94 times. And other is in the fine print, but that was basically everything else. These data were collected between 2010 and 2012. It was right around the time that Grindr and Scruff were becoming very popular. So that did start to emerge, but not until we were, you know, getting people in later in the study. If we repeated it now, like, I know that those would have been among those venues as well. So here's what I want you to take home from this. So these models, I'm only showing you the parts that were significant in the two different steps. And remember, we're controlling for those other variables that I mentioned to you. And so in the first step, what I'm showing you is that the sex party cohort was riskier as a cohort for condomless anal sex than the Craigslist cohort and the gay bar cohort. Then in the next model, we go ahead and we add, well, where were you meeting that partner? So we're accounting for that higher level and then event-specific level, with the sex party folks being the reference. And I did the bivariate comparisons of all other differences. So we compared internet to bathhouse, internet to gay bar. Those were not significantly different. That's minutes left. Oh, Jesus. The sex parties really emerged as the riskiest environment. Every other venue was less risk. So adjusting for factors known to be associated with condomless anal sex, meeting a new partner at a sex party was associated with greater odds for condomless anal sex compared to other venues. The internet, and in the study, the internet was the second most common venue that was reported, and it's very interesting that the internet, compared to everyone else, meeting a partner off the internet was not associated with greater risk. So that's another take-home point that adds to our literature. So men who attend sex parties as a group were riskier, and meeting a partner at a sex party also elevates that risk. So some of our guys from the Craigslist cohort and the gay bar and bathhouse cohort, they did report partners from sex parties as well, and their risk was elevated when they were attending a sex party. So the sex party itself impacts it. So we have a very modest sample size here. It's New York City study of sexually active men. We're only looking at new partners, not repeat partners. The timeline follow-back interview is face-to-face, which may contribute to some social desirability. We know that sex parties are common, and we don't have a lot of interventions that are approved for sex parties. A lot of what we have, I think the only like CDC one for this type of stuff is for bathhouses around condom distribution, which I'm sure could work here, but there might be other stuff as well. And we've questioned guys who go to sex parties about the types of interventions that they think would be good. Seeing HIV prevention educators at a sex party, not sexy. Free condoms and lube, sexy. So it just means, you know, if we're going to develop interventions, we have to think very critically about if we're going to do it at the sex party, what are we going to do in such a way that we're going to be able to engage the population? I already said that. Thank you. Am I allowed to take questions? I've been told yes. In New York City, as far as I know, none of the sex parties are sponsored by the health department. But the health department does partner with sex parties, such that they were giving meningitis vaccines. The health department supplies many of the sex parties with condoms, but they're not the New York City sponsored sex party, which would be pretty awesome. Uh, So we have a long history of working with, you know, sex venues, so they knew about us going into it. They welcomed our staff into the venue. We made it clear we were, you know, they'll be at the door. They're not going to be, you know, wandering around. Excuse me, can you please stop doing that and answer a few questions for me? So we didn't do that, though. And so the sex party promoters did email blasts for us, and they also passed out information about the study, and then participants contacted us to enroll. I've been told I have to stop.